Hello and welcome back to Living Fullness. We are excited as always to have you guys with us here today. Welcome, whether you're listening through your earpiece with our podcast or watching on our YouTube channel. Thank you for being here once again.
Thank you and Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas.
Yes. Merry Christmas, Dan.
And to you too. Thank you. How good is this, huh?
Oh, it's so good.
We've got our hot chocolates.
Hot chocolates. It's got, this mug, Stina bought me this mug like years ago.
A few years ago now.
So it comes out every Christmas.
And he actually does store it away during the other.
Absolutely. It is a Christmas mug, an exclusively Christmas mug.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know how everybody's got a Christmas mug that's just in the back of the cupboard? Yeah, that's not what this guy does.
No, this is stored away with the rest of the Christmas decorations. Mm-hmm. So,
We've got a smelly candle, so it smells like Christmas. Oh. Keen and excited.
Absolutely. The only thing that's missing is snow in an Australian summer. So
Bring on the snow. Oh, if only. That's right. To this episode, we wanted to do a bit of a Christmas-themed episode and a bit more relaxed and chilled, but also a couple of purposeful and intentional questions in there around Christmas time as well. But to start with, let's talk traditions. Let's talk traditions. You know, what does your family do? What did your family do? You know, what do you guys do now? How do you celebrate Christmas?
So for all three of us kids, mum and dad kind of went to town. Yeah, it was pretty epic.
Ooh.
Like there was, when you woke up in Christmas morning, talcum powder was spread around the, like in the shape of footprints. It was pretty, they went all out. And we would come together in the morning and we'd have Christmas sort of just a breakfast and then we'd exchange gifts. And mum was always the gift giver. She was always the one who got the gifts from the trees and she handed them out to the respective people. And she'd say, so Sean, this one is from Marcus to Marcus, sorry, words, to Marcus from you. And so she'd give it to me and I'd have to go and give it to Marcus and she'd do the same thing for everybody else. And it was,
It was
pretty sweet. We'd come together and have lunch and dinner. But of course, as each of the kids have grown up and either got married or become a priest, the Christmas tradition has changed a little bit. I normally don't get home now until sort of the evening of Christmas, but mum is adamant that we don't exchange gifts until everybody in the family is there. so we come together at about 5 o'clock in the evening and we have a Christmas dinner and we exchange gifts and it's pretty much the same thing. Only my sister now plays Santa Claus and hands out all the gifts because mum can't do it anymore. It's really cool. How about for yourself?
Delightful. As a child growing up, Christmas is not the way Christmas is for me as an adult now. Mm. Having grown up on the other side of the world, snow was one of the first things we saw. Oh, bless you! In the lead up to Christmas.
That was what you call disruptive, wasn't it?
That's what you would get in a winter's Christmas.
It was demonstrative. Continue.
So that's what my Christmas sort of would look like aesthetically. I'd wake up to a white world. You know, everything was covered with snow, and it was rather hilarious. A few days before Christmas, as children, we'd get a little worried that, you know, if the snow wasn't there, I'd be like, Dad, there's no snow yet. And Dad's classic response was, don't worry, I've ordered the snow, it'll be here. So that was really sweet. And he was, you know, anytime he said that, he was right. The snow did show up ridiculously. But we actually go to church on Christmas Eve, like midnight. And then we come back from church and as a family, we pretty much stay up for most of the night welcoming in Christmas. So that is sort of where we exchange our gifts and we might put on a movie or put on some Christmas music and we'll have some good like light supper and things like that. Open up a bottle of wine and just enjoy each other's company until we pretty much can't take it anymore and need to go to bed. And then we'll have a few hours and we'll get up the following day. And Mum always puts on a magnificent sort of Sri Lankan spread for lunch. So we'll have that together and again, just play some games and things like that, just hanging out with each other. So that's sort of what my Christmas was like growing up and still is very much like when I visit my family back in Norway, whereas in Australia, most Christmases I house hop.
Sure.
So if I'm not sort of playing music at church for Christmas events and whatnot, I am moving between homes because people have been very generous in the time that I've been in Australia to invite me to their place for Christmas. So I try to take up as many people as I can when they make an invitation like that. So
cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Very nice. I should probably add Mass is actually part of that tradition as well.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, Lord.
Thank goodness for that.
That's right.
What about decorations? Do you decorate? I mean, we've decorated here today, but
yes, yes. When I was a kid, yes, the Christmas tree came out every year.
Wait a minute. Does that mean the Christmas tree doesn't come out now?
A little teeny tiny one does.
Oh.
Yeah, because Mum and Dad can't put anything together. So,
okay.
So
can't you do that?
Not here in Wagga, no.
No, fair enough. Fair enough.
So I do, but so Mum and Dad would always bring out the decorations and everything, and they used to have this bear that they bought, and he used to sing Christmas carols, and my niece Eva used to be absolutely in love with this bear, and she would say in a very French accent — she's not French, so I don't know why it came out in a very French accent — but she would say in a very French accent, "Oh, Miss a bear." And the bear would react to the sound and start singing. It was, you know, I was so cute. Today, I do try and decorate things to more or less success. She laughs, but she knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's
yes.
So I've tried to decorate when I was first here at the seminary. It was 2016, and I thought to myself, you know what? I've never had my own office space to decorate, so I'm going to decorate my office. And look, it wasn't that great of a job. It sucked a bit. So I bought this. It was sort of mid-December by the time I made this resolution. By that stage, all the Christmas trees were gone, and so all that was left was this tree that was essentially, you know, those brushes that you use to clean your drains with. It was just that stuck on a base. And I was like, yeah, that looks kind of like a Christmas tree. Let's see it. Okay, no worries, we'll take that. And so I stuck it on one of my bookshelves, and I put some tinsel around it and everything. I took a photo. I sent it to Stina. I'm like, check it out. Isn't it great decoration? She fires back, no, it is awful. I guess it is. I suppose I was hoping for...
And look, to clarify, it wasn't actually a brush for the drain, but that's exactly what it looked like.
It looked like that,
It was deliberately made to look like a Christmas tree, but they failed in epic proportions.
Yes, they did. But I've gotten better, I think.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, definitely. Yes. Yeah, definitely.
So, how about yourself?
Yes, do I decorate? Absolutely. First Sunday of Advent, my decorations start to go up. And I'm a solar powered light fan, so I put all my solar lights up so that when I come back of an evening from whatever during the week, just walking into a room that's lit with Christmas lights. Oh, it's beautiful.
That's pretty cool.
Love it. Yep. So yes, definitely. What about Santa? Is Santa a thing?
Yes. Okay. Yes. It was in my household.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, if there are any children who...
Oh, right.
Who have... Yeah.
Yeah, no. Look, disclaimer. Let's put the disclaimer out here. If you're watching or listening, and you are a child who is excited for Santa to come and visit this year, please go and get an adult at this point to sit with you and determine whether you should listen to the next few minutes or not.
Yes, please do that. All right. Santa was a thing. But I always had this sneaking suspicion that Santa wasn't real.
Mm.
And I would ask Mum, "Mum, is Santa real?" And I do the same thing with the Easter Bunny. Easter, you know, is the Easter Bunny real? Interestingly, I never bought into the Tooth Fairy.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, why? Why should? What does a fairy want with teeth? This is rubbish. But I.
What does a bunny want with chocolate eggs?
Exactly right. I never got that far. What does a bunny want with chocolate eggs? And why is there a guy breaking into people's homes on the 25th of December? Those are questions that, yep. that I never asked. But Mum would always say to me, whenever I asked, is Easter Bunny real or is Santa real? She would always say, whatever you have love in your heart for Santa or whatever you have love in your heart for the Easter Bunny, he's real.
Okay, all right. It's a diplomatic answer.
It was a very diplomatic answer.
Good job, Mrs. Burns.
And then when I was about 6 years old, I was like, it was Easter time. I was in the back of the car and Mum was driving down Dean Street, which is the main street of Albury, the busiest street. And I just said to Mum, Is Easter Bunny real? And she goes, whatever you have love in your heart, for Easter Bunny, Easter Bunny's real. And I said, yeah, now don't tell me that. Tell me the honest truth. Tell me the honest truth. Is the Easter Bunny real? And Mum was kind of torn. She's like, oh, he's asking for the honest truth, so it's time. And she goes, no, darling, he's not. And oh. My heart broke. And I went, oh, no. I cried and then I asked the next worst question, which was, I guess now you're going to tell me that Santa isn't real either. And she goes, whatever you have love in your heart for Santa, he's real. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. Tell me the truth. No,
you
darling.
You can't handle the truth.
That's right. Well, she did. She told me the truth. She said, no, darling. And said, he's not real. I broke my heart. I think I asked something like, so who gives us all the presents? And Mum's like, well, Mum and Dad. And I'm like, you guys do. Yes, we are nice people, Sean. We give presents, you know. So anyway, that was the – how about for yourself? Was it ever a thing?
Oh, look, Santa was definitely a thing, but not in our family. So, you know, right. Culturally, Norwegian culture, yep, Santa was definitely a thing. But I don't know that most children actually grew up believing that he was a legit being.
Yeah, right, sure.
I think it was accepted that, oh, someone dresses up as Santa and he's, you know, lovely and he's kind and he gives things out. And generally it's things like mandarins with cloves in them. Right. That was the thing that we would see in the shopping mall was not Santa handing out lollies. He was handing out mandarins. That was his thing.
Is a healthy alternative.
Yeah, which kids loved getting anyway. And yeah. it was also great like that.
What was the thing inside them you said?
Oh, with cloves stuck in them?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, you do that with oranges.
Cloves of?
No, they're like cloves. They're spices. I'll show you what
they are. Spices. Okay. All right, cool.
It's a clove. What are you, cloves of what?
Well, cloves of garlic, cloves of...
No, an actual clove. They're like little black spices, yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, you chuck them in there. And, you know, when you leave it out for a little while, you get this nice fragrance of citrus and clove, and it's Christmassy.
Can you eat the mandarin?
You can eat the mandarin, but if it's got cloves in it and it's been sitting there with cloves in it for a little while, it's probably not the greatest tasting thing. Right, okay. It's more of a fragrance than anything else.
Okay,
yeah, but sure. The mandarin, yeah, you can.
Okay, cool.
So Santa was definitely a thing in that sense, but not in our home. Santa never broke into our home, put it that way. It just wasn't a thing. And I vividly remember at a Christmas party for our primary school, there was, you know, always song and dance and that kind of thing. And then Santa showed up and I remember looking around the room and going, where did my, you know, best friend at the time, who was also my neighbor, where did her dad disappear to? I'm like, oh, it's really odd that he's missing out on Santa time. Like now would not be the right time to leave wherever he's gone. And then Santa walks in and, you know, Santa starts handing out presents and whatever else. And I looked down and I went, huh, that's her dad's shoes. Go figure. He's Santa this year. Right. And I remember saying something to his wife and his wife was very like, yeah, don't talk too loud. Let's just go along, go and enjoy. I'm like, okay, no worries. And I remember trying to talk to him like, hey, how you going? Like I knew who he was and he was not buying it. He came back later on like as himself. He was like, so... how'd you like Santa? Santa was great. How did you like being Santa?
Nice.
Yeah, so no, Santa was not a real thing in my
life. Sure. Yep. You know, it's a time of family getting together, particularly like immediate but also extended family, and generally that comes with some kind of difficult conversations, sort of faith, politics, phases of life, all that sort of thing.
Mm.
Any difficult conversations that come up at Christmas for you?
Look, definitely. I think as with most people, there's bound to be some personality clashes. There's bound to be some topics of conversation that I'd rather not have on Christmas.
Sure,
and
sure.
Or rather not have at all, but, you know, especially not on Christmas. Sure. So like with, you know, most families, and this happens anytime a group of people come together, there's the likelihood of some conversations that are not as great as what things could be, especially with people that you are associated with but don't really see all that often.
Yeah. Similarly, that's right. Whenever you have family come together, that's sort of the thing that happens, isn't it? It's those conversations and tensions erupt how do you handle those? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, look, I guess at the end of the day, as frustrating as they are, as hurtful as they can be, as stressful as they can be, it has to boil down to charity in whatever response we make. Whether we choose to walk away or whether we choose to say something, it has to come down to charity. And I think at Christmas especially, we can be a lot more short-fused than any other time of year, because it's a really special day, and it's a day that most people try to make as special and as perfect as you can possibly have it. But the reality is it's very difficult to have a perfect manufactured day. And so anything that comes in that might not align with your idea of perfection will be a struggle. And so knowing all the expectations that we hold on that particular day, we can become a lot more short-fused than usual. So it's even more important that we are charitable towards each other, and also towards, you know, ourselves when we muck up as well, being kind towards ourselves as well. But in terms of the practical, you know, when it comes to different things that someone might say, whether it be the lifestyle choice that you've made, it might be, you know, the state of life that you're in, the career choices that you make that people don't, aren't impressed by. I mean, when you're faced with things like that, it's just to ask yourself, you know, what here do I know to be true and factual and realistic, rather than how I wish that they would have responded?
Yeah, sure.
Because we can't manipulate other people.
Yeah.
We can hope that they might approach us in a positive way, but if we know from our experience that they haven't, then that's part of our reality, that they're probably not going to be all that positive towards us. And so it's just about being able to say, okay, well, I know that that's part of reality, and being able to accept that that's just the way it is with this person.
Yep.
You know, that's just the way it is. And
they're going to bring up my faith, or they're going to bring up this, or they're going to bring up that. And that's just that's just something that I'm prepared for.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And just being able to say, okay, well, and when that happens, I might hear them out, or I might walk away, or I might listen, or here's my boundary, figuring out where that boundary is and then going with it, but not letting it unravel you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Unravel you. And, and then, you know, do a Frozen. Let it go. You know, but also then be Christian and let God take care of it. So, you know, just being able to, you know, assess if what this person is saying is actually useful. And if it is useful, then being able to say, okay, well, let me just reassess this situation. So let's say someone who gets drunk at Christmas, and you know that this person has a tendency to be drunk. Well, the feelings that might erupt from that when we're in conversation with that person is a useful thing. When our feelings say things like, I feel really unsafe here in this conversation, that's a really useful piece of advice, and we should act on that piece of advice. But we get to make a choice on how we respond to that, whether we choose to walk away, whether we choose to confront that person, whether we choose to call somebody else over. You know, how we respond to that is entirely ours. And then once we've responded to that, to literally let it go and let God. So, you know, don't be, yes, it might sting. Yes, it might hurt. Yes, it might suck. But don't bother holding that over them. Just like, God, deal with that. Like, just let it go.
Very good advice. Yeah, I like that a lot.
What about for those people who are alone this Christmas, Padre?
I think the first thing to remember is that you're not actually alone.
Mm.
You know, it is literally Christmas is the celebration of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to dwell among us and save us from our sins. So literally we know we are not alone.
Yeah.
You know, Christ is with us. And so perhaps there are two things that spring to mind. The first is that we could do a retreat. Take the opportunity to have a day of retreat, a day of recollection, a day to actually be with the Lord who loves us. And to do that, can I suggest the Virtue Ministry retreat
template.
Schedule?
Yeah, definitely.
It's on your website?
Yep, yes. Absolutely.
Yes, there you go. So it's actually a really good retreat schedule, and it can be for a few hours, it could be for a day, you can choose what kind of time that you put into it, but it's a way of being recollected and spending time with the one that we love above all. And the second thing perhaps is to find somewhere to serve. Soup kitchens, cooking and care programs, you know, looking after somebody else, because the very nature of other-centered service is that we actually stop being alone.
Mm.
When we go out towards others and give a gift of ourselves to others, even those that we don't know, we wind up being in connection with others. And it's when it's in the context of service, it's always a meaningful connection.
Mm. Mm, yeah. Definitely. And there is something about service that's quite long-lasting in terms of the satisfaction that it actually gives us. So it's not just in the one day.
Yeah.
And so obviously that's why, you know, service is something that is encouraged throughout the entire year.
For sure. Yep. Yep, spot on. What does Christmas mean to you?
Yeah, right. look, Christmas for me, you've already said, you know, it's a celebration of Christ coming to our world. And I guess also we have a world that says, oh, Christmas is about family and it's about joy and it's about laughter and it's about love. And yeah, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with all of that. It is definitely about that. But I think where the world feels as though all of those things need to come from within us in terms of our feelings and our intentions and that we just need to be joyful people and happy people at Christmas and we need to spend time with our family because that's just what you do for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Where the world has those type of messages, for me, Christmas is about all of those things but coming from Christ.
Nice.
So where he is the core and he is the center and I can love my neighbor and I can love those people around me with and through him and I spend time with my family through him and with him and by his love. And the joy that I experience and the laughter that we get to share is again through him. Like it's precisely because he came that I have all those things. So that is sort of where I feel Christmas sits for me. But it's also a reminder of the second coming as well. So Yes, he came and there's an exceptional amount of joy that comes with knowing that this was the way God wanted to come. He wanted to come through the womb of a virgin and to be raised by a carpenter and he wanted to be vulnerable and a baby and innocent and that is how he wanted to enter into the world and how he wanted to show his love for us and then ultimately, you know, die for us. Like that was his intention and purpose from the start. It wasn't just a consequence that happened in his life.
Yeah.
That was his intention from the start. And so it's powerful and painful, but beautiful, but also a reminder that this Christmas, as with every Christmas, it's a preparation for welcoming him, not just in the joy of when he actually came, but also in that he will come again. So
nice. Mm. Nice. That was my homily this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was not there. Did not copy that.
No, Stephen did not copy that. I attest she was not in the congregation.
Neat.
Yeah, you did well.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you're going to give us a snapshot of your homily now then. What about you, Padre? What does Christmas mean for you?
On my ordination card, when a priest is ordained, normally he gets a little card printed to commemorate the occasion that he hands out to people. And it normally has some picture on the front and a message on the back that says, you know, Father Sean Burns, ordained April the 11th, 2015. Please you know, pray for him or pray for me. And then it says, it normally has some scripture quote on it. And the scripture quote that was on my ordination card was John chapter 3, verse 16 following, which is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that all who believe in him might not perish but have eternal life.
Mm.
And that is like the... To me, that's the testament of the incarnation, is that, you know, he was sent so that we might live, so that we might have life and have it to the full, and that's what Christmas for me is about. Is Christ has come, and as you rightly say, Christ will come again, and he comes to bring us to life with him, and Christmas is that reminder that we're actually meant to live the reality of the incarnation. Like, it's not just a once-a-year festival. Christmas is a reality that we live every day. When I was doing my study here in the seminary, there was this point where my spiritual life and my academic life actually started to merge, and that was when I studied Christology. And I get to teach that subject next year, which is really exciting. But when those two sort of merged, when I started to realize that Jesus isn't an idea, he's not a concept, he's a person.
Mm.
And he's a person who calls me into relationship with himself. And he can do that, he does that by virtue of the fact that he's been incarnate. He actually calls me into a family relationship. He calls me to be his brother, and he calls me to be adoptive son of the Father. I actually have to live that reality, you know, and I have the privilege of being able to live that reality, that I might see the awesome reality that is yet to come in Christ's return.
Well, we've talked a little bit about, you know, where things can go a bit askew on Christmas and what Christmas means to us. What would your ideal Christmas look like?
My ideal Christmas?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so Christmas Eve, I read Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It's awesome. The scene that always sticks out to me is that scene where Jacob Marley approaches Scrooge as a ghost, and he's wearing this horrible chain, and Scrooge asks him, "Why do you wear such terrible fetters?" "I wear the chains I forged in life. I made them link by link and yard by yard, and of my own free will I bore them. Is their pattern strange to you?" Mm. And it's such a powerful statement by Charles Dickens there, and. So read the Christmas Carol, Midnight Mass, and followed by morning masses, and then morning tea with my priest bros. They'd probably take great exception to me calling them bros, but anyway, it's done now. And then lunch with family and friends. Normally, I lunch with you and a couple of others, I will drive home, have Christmas dinner. An Irish coffee.
Ooh.
Dad makes some deadly Irish coffees. And of course, we exchange gifts and well wishes. And then bed.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like you're living your ideal Christmas every Christmas.
I'm not having midnight mass this year.
Oh. Okay. All right. Next year.
How about for yourself?
Yeah, so I would normally, my ideal Christmas is very similar to what I have anyway, most Christmases, and that is midnight mass as well, very late on Christmas Eve. And then generally for Christmas Day, it'll be a shared meal with the people that I care about, some sort of board game or something, definitely Christmas carols, blasting those Christmas carols in Norwegian and in English. my ideal Christmas would also have snow. If I could have a little bit of snow, just like around my house, nobody else's place, because I don't want to upset everybody else, but just around where I am. Christmas lights and the smell of cinnamon, love that. Mint hot chocolates and probably a simple dessert like ice cream. Got to have ice cream for Christmas, especially in Australia. You've got to have ice cream for Christmas. And then Doctor Who special. So normally I would watch a Doctor Who special on Boxing Day, but for my ideal Christmas, it would be like very late Christmas Day when everybody is zonked out. Sure. Nice. That's the time to put on Doctor Who.
Nice. Very cool. All right. In a Christmas fantasy land, which fictional characters would you invite to your Christmas party?
Yeah, look, the Doctor. Let's face it, he has a time machine. We could have Christmas anywhere, anytime. So let's do that. And then I'd probably have the original cast, well, the original characters from the Avengers. Mm-hmm. Just because I think that would be absolutely hilarious. Like, I can just picture the Hulk walking around completely destroying half the place. He'd be calm for a little while, but, you know, he might step on a Lego piece or something. And then all hell breaks loose. Cool. And then you've got Thor, like, what is this Christmas thing? I don't understand why there's lights on a tree. Why is there a tree indoors? Like, he would just be completely confused by the whole thing. Yeah. And then Iron Man would probably destroy my baking, trying to create and mess with my oven. No, I'll speed up the baking process. Let me tinker with this thing. No, you just burnt my cake is what you did, Iron Man. Sit down. And then I can just picture Captain America just being like, people, chill. It's Christmas. Like, let's just...
It would be like
Christmas.
He would be like that. He would.
Which would just be highly entertaining. It would be a very memorable Christmas.
Yep.
I'd also have Charlie from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory because he would remind us of all the things that we have been blessed to have, having, you know, this little kid who pretty much had nothing and his family who pretty much had nothing. He would be very appreciative, and so he'd be great to have at Christmas. Mm. And then probably also Mumble from Happy Feet, the tap dancing penguin. Right, I'm with you. And along with Cosmo Brown from Singing in the Rain, because the two of them could create all the music and dancing that could possibly entertain all of us.
I've not seen Singing in the Rain.
Oh. That's... not okay. This needs to be rectified.
In due course, I'm sure it will.
Yeah, this needs to be rectified.
Oh, man.
What about you, Padre?
All right. Spider-Man.
I'm sorry. I've just told you my elaborate...
The judgment is real. The judgment is real.
I've just told you about the elaborate original Avengers coming to my Christmas party and you're like, first up, Spider-Man. What?
He rocks. It's what? He's awesome.
No offense to Spider-Man, but...
There is clear offense to Spider-Man.
In comparison...
He's the underdog. He deserves a good Christmas party, man. He's, you know, plus he can get up on the wall and, you know, get all the lights to...
Oh. Yep.
He can hang Christmas decorations like no one else. See?
For a guy who doesn't like spiders.
Yeah, I guess it's a... I don't know. It's a weird thing. Mm. Yeah.
Must be the number of legs.
Exactly right. Father Brown.
Oh.
Father Brown from the G.K. Chesterton novels. And if I had to pick a movie version... Definitely not the current BBC version.
Okay.
But the 1950s Alec Guinness version. Yeah, awesome. And Scooby-Doo, because he can eat all the leftovers. And
there is no leftovers.
It's a bittersweet thing. Oh. And MacGyver, because if something goes wrong, he can salvage it all with a paperclip and a piece of chewing gum. So
can the doctor, and he just needs a screwdriver. Look, basically what I'm saying is that my Christmas would be better than yours. You should just come to join my Christmas.
No. I'll have my own party over here in the corner.
Okay, sure.
With Spider-Man. MacGyver and Spider-Man, yeah, and the doggy talks. Sure.
Look, let's face it. Spider-Man's coming over to join the original Avengers anyway. He's going to be like, what's that, Iron Man? Yeah, no worries. I'm on my way.
Yeah, probably. Oh, dear. Very good. All right. What is your Christmas wish for our listeners and viewers?
Yeah, I guess my prayer at the moment for myself and for everyone who's listening and watching is essentially that our hearts would be emptied. And I know that sounds odd to suggest let's just empty of ourselves, but really empty ourselves of everything that belongs to this world, everything that attaches us, that we're attached to, everything that is just part of, you know, living life here on earth with all the things that are wonderful and good and great, but also just keep us on this earth and attached to this world, that we'll be completely emptied of that, so that when Christmas morning hits, we can be fully prepared and ready to just welcome every ounce of grace that God wants to give us, and so that we'll be overflowing with that love and with that grace, and being able to live that then out for the rest of the year, not just for the 1 year. So that's my Christmas wish and prayer for everyone.
That's awesome. Yeah. Similarly, to be united with the only love that satisfies our human hearts. That's my prayer for Christmas, is that we'll become aware of the ways that we've gotten used to darkness in our lives. The ways that we've sort of allowed that to creep in, and that we will be able to experience what it's like to shed light on that, and not just any light, but the light of Christ, who loves us so much that he became man and died for us. You know, that's my hope, is that we're already so well acquainted with the darkness in many ways. So how wonderful is it, and how wonderful would it be to be so much more well acquainted with the light, to be so acquainted with Christ, who is the light of the world, the light of our hearts, and who brings brightness and joy even to the most horrid and sad of moments and situations, precisely because when all is said and done, when we're with Christ, we are loved infinitely. And that counts more than anything else in the world.
Well said. Well, that brings us to the end of this Christmas episode.
It does indeed.
And I think it's fair to say that when it comes to truth, beauty and goodness for a Christmas episode.
What more need we say? It was truth, goodness and beauty himself becomes incarnate.
Yeah.
So
we'll just revel in that.
That's right.
But thank you everyone for joining us, whether you've been listening through your earpiece, in your car, in your home, or watching through the YouTube channel. Thank you for joining us thus far. We do have one more episode before the end of the year, so stay tuned for that. But we hope that you are having and have had a wonderful Christmas. Know of our ongoing love and prayers for you and your loved ones.
God bless you.